Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Right, it is time for us to turn our attention to this weekend's Six Nations action. We've done all the rugby preview. We've talked about the depth chart and who should play where and what the subs should be and the teams have been named. But we wanted to, get to the bottom of the little bit of spice that has been added this week in the build-up and talk to one of our Welsh friends, John Hartson. Good afternoon, good evening to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's all good. Looking forward to the match on Sunday.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your love of rugby, will you?
Well, you can't be born in Wales and not have a passion for rugby. You know, rugby is our national sport down there in Wales. I live in Edinburgh now. I have been for the last 5 years. But born and bred in Swansea. Played at the Principality Stadium myself many times for the national team, of course, in representing Wales in football. The rugby team will go out there on Sunday. The Principality, the ex Millennium Stadium, now the Principality, of course. Before that, it was the Cardiff Arms Park. I can remember going to there as a kid and watching games. I've been over to the Aviva a few times, even when it was the Barclay Court Hotel?
Yes.
I stayed there one night. I stayed in the Barclay Court and it's changed different names. And I'm talking probably 25 years ago now when I first went, when I was in the Barclay Court.
That's where the team used to stay as well. So you might have bumped into some of the Irish lads.
Yeah, possibly, you know, many, many years ago. Spending the odd weekend over in Dublin, maybe I'd have got a suspension or something. Might have got a suspension on purpose to go to the rugby, I don't know. But no, rugby's always been a passion of mine. I love rugby, follow the World Cup, and obviously the Six Nations it comes round every year, February, March. And now I'm living in Edinburgh as well. I've been the last few years over to Murrayfield in Edinburgh to watch a couple of games, in particular when they play Wales. So, I love rugby. And as I said, I'm a proud Welshman. And I think even a few of the other lads, a few of the international footballers, they'll tell you themselves that, you know, rugby is our national sport. So can't help but follow it, really.
Yeah, well, we've been stirring the pot a little bit this week. I mean, the last decade or so, it's fair to say that Wales have had the upper hand in the rivalry, particularly... I mean, all the way back to the World Cup quarterfinal where you guys beat us and then you guys got beaten in the semi-final. That's one that sticks in our craw. Right now, the new Welsh coach, Wayne Pivac, has been having a pretty difficult time. And this week, on this side of the Irish Sea, we've just been saying that. That's all we've been saying, that, you know, things are not going very well for Wales at the moment. But your mates in Wales are pretty touchy when we've been dropping some truth bombs on them, John.
Or you were calling us Welsh touchy.
Yes.
I can't believe that. Yeah, I can wind the Irish rugby fans up with just sending a tweet. You know, the dramas that come out of it. And, you know, I'm just a normal guy who's just giving an opinion. That's all I'm doing. But no, all joking aside, I thought up until a few years ago, Ireland had a wonderful record in Cardiff. Hadn't lost there for many a years for whatever reason. You know, in the Six Nations tournament, Scotland hadn't beaten Wales in Cardiff for 30 years. And they beat them a couple of months ago there at Parker Scarlets, which was, for me, it wasn't really, although it counted as a big game, an international game, it's not the same unless you have it at the main stadium, is it really? If you're playing Scotland, you don't want to play at Celtic Park or Ibrox or, you know, or Tynecastle. You want to play it at Murrayfield.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go and play the game. And the game was actually played at Parker Scarlets, where Llanelli's home ground is. the Welsh club rugby side, Llanelli, the Scarlets. And Scotland turned Wales over. Pretty comfortable, actually. I think that was only their second win in Wales in over 30 years. So sometimes you do get these rivalries that certain teams, you know, they have that sort of... They have that sort of great record against other international teams for whatever reason. It just seems to be. And I remember talking to the rugby fans a few years ago. And I know Ireland, up until a few years ago, had a wonderful record in Cardiff.
It was one of those really weird scenarios where we had a great record in Cardiff and you had a great record in Dublin. There was a decade where essentially we flipped. You would win here and we would win there. And then over the last 6 years, we actually haven't beaten you in Wales. You know, I mean, we kind of got a little bit annoyed, a little bit bored of being beaten all the time by the Welsh.
Well, he might be getting annoyed tomorrow or again, you know. Sorry, it's on Sunday, actually, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to watch how this story has taken off in Wales. It got covered and then ultimately the head coach gets asked about it, the captain gets asked about it, and you're like, this is all very strange where these rivalries seem to matter. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to be a sports person and somebody says something about you in the press? Did you ever really actually care about it?
It all depends what they said. I think if it was cynical and it was bordering on personal, I remember we played Blackburn, I think, in the fifth round of the UEFA Cup back in 2003, and Graeme Souness was the Blackburn manager. We played them in the UEFA Cup. We got to the final that year, actually, and lost to Jose Mourinho's Porto when I was playing at Celtic, and it was a two-legged affair. And at Celtic Park, they had Andy Cole and Dwight York as a pairing playing up top for them. Obviously, the famous two that did very well in the Champions League for Man United when they did the treble. I think they destroyed Juventus one night in the game that Roy Keane got booked and couldn't then play in the final. I believe I'm right in saying that. They were their partnership that night for Blackburn. They're a wonderful side under Graeme Souness. And just going back to what you're saying, I think we won 1-0 at Celtic Park. We won the first game 1-0. And then the next morning in the papers, Blackburn, Graeme Souness, it was men against boys. He came out, Graeme, surprised with all his experience and his managerial, his playing career. And we just sort of laughed it off and thought, well, do you know what? Blackburn actually did play very well. We almost nicked it 1-0 right at the death. Henrik Larsson scored, you know, no shock to anybody in the 89th minute. Henrik. So we go to Blackburn the following Thursday for the second leg. And Martin O'Neill surprised me by doing it. He actually pinned the paper clips on the dressing room walls. And he was almost saying, there's my team talk, lads. There's my team talk. I don't have to say anything. Last week, their manager and the players thought it was men against boys. They're calling you boys. So they're calling Bob O'Baldy, myself, Chris Sutton, Henry Glass, and Neil Lennon, Alan Thompson. They're calling us boys. You know, we've all got international football caps. We've all played in the Premier League. All right, we haven't had the careers of certain people, but we're proud footballers, and we've made our name in the game, respectively, all of us. So basically, we went there, and we absolutely thumped them. We thumped them 2-0 at Ewood Road. Henrik and Chris scored the goals. Chris enjoyed it, obviously, because he was going back to Blackburn when he won a Premier League with Shearer, obviously, with Kenny Dalglish as manager a few years back. So just making a point of that particular time, it became personal. But in general, things can get misconstrued. Things can get taken out of context. It all depends sometimes what papers you're reading. Are you reading The Sun? You know, a tabloid sort of paper that destroys people's lives? Or are you reading The Mirror? Are you reading The Star? Which are all the same, really. Or if you get it from a Telegraph or Independent, I don't know, The Times, I don't know. Maybe it's not so much, you know, highlighted or, you know, back page or even front page sometimes.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, it all depends what type of criticism it is, you know?
Yeah, well, there was some pretty stinging criticism of Dan Lydiate. So Lydiate has been out of the team since 2018. He's back in the team now. Stephen Ferris was talking during the week about how he doesn't really think he's still up to it and how he's passed his best. I'm not sure about Dan Lydiate, to be honest. I think his best years are behind him, and I wouldn't have any bother saying that to his face. They brought that up today in the press conference, and that might be the type of thing that the Welsh team respond to.
Exactly. I don't know why somebody from the Irish press or somebody or even yourself would be naive enough to say that. Now, I know you can call it honesty. You can call it brutally honest to tell somebody to his face, an international player with lots and lots of rugby caps. How many caps have you got?
That was Stephen Ferris saying that, by the way, not me. So,
but there we go. I'm just saying.
Ferris is 50.
It's like, hold on a minute. How many caps you get? You know, this boy's an international. He's lived his dream, played for his country in front of a full house, in front of his parents. That's somebody's dream they've always dreamt about, following their great heroes of the past, the Scott Quinnells and the Barry Johns, and I could go on, the Bennetts and the Gareth Edwardses of this world. So what I'm trying to say is I think it's quite naive. If you want to start a little bit of a debate, but I would think for that reason alone, I don't think you're putting Lydiate off his game. I think you're probably trying to, he would probably feel that you know, he wants to go out there and prove people wrong. And I think I'm not just saying it because of the game, Ireland, Wales. I think it can be quite naive, a bit daft to wind people up. And I'd say the same if the Welsh players were trying to wind, you know, Johnny Sexton up or other players that are playing for Ireland on Sunday. I wouldn't be too keen on doing. I never did that myself personally. You know, I'm not too sure whether I would have sort of did all that sort of mind games, if you like.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You need to be very brilliant at how you manage mind games, and you need to pick the right person or the right target. Because if you get it wrong, it backfires horribly, and people always remember that.
It can go wrong as well. Sometimes when it goes right, I think the law of averages are most of the time, it'll go wrong. And then sometimes when you get it right, nobody will say, well done. Nobody will say to you, oh, well done, by the way, you called that. You said Lydiate was over the hill and he had a bad game. Nobody will tell you that. That's good news. That's positive. But if he plays really well and scores a winning try, everybody will go, oh, remember him? Proved you wrong, didn't he? Told you. Can't believe you went out on a, you know, you went out quite big on Lydiate playing badly. You know, if he does play badly, you normally say a word. But if he plays well and proves you wrong, you know, you get hammered for that.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see Stephen Ferris's mentions on Sunday if Dan Lydiate puts in a man of the match performance and Wales win. Who knows what that's going to be like?
I think Wales have actually got quite a strong team. I looked at it earlier on because, as I said, you know, I'll be watching the game certainly on Sunday, but. I like Lee Halfpenny. You know, we know how fantastic he is, how consistent he is. I'm not sure he's the kicker maybe now at this moment in time to what he was on the Lions Tour a few years ago, where he almost won the Lions Tour on his own. And he won a Six Nations for Wales, a Grand Slam or a Triple Crown. I don't think he missed a kick, or I think he missed one kick on a Lions Tour, Lee Halfpenny. So he's fantastic. You know yourself, you need a great, someone really reliable. You don't know what type of game it's going to go. It might be just a kick or a conversion or a penalty. You might just settle it. But I just looked at the other players. George North is always a threat. He's been knocked out a few times. He's got problems when he gets big hits, George North. But he's a wonderful player, so much experience. You got Dan Bigger. I like it outside half. Dan Bigger's a really good footballer. You know, he's a player. I say footballer, you can describe rugby players as footballers as well because he's a great kicker. And then Lydiate, Chipperick and Faletau, they're three big players for Wales,
yeah,
you know?
Look, yeah, I mean, that trio have done us untold damage over the years. And go back to that World Cup game as well. And I think maybe there's a little, maybe that was inspiring Ferris a little bit.
Well, I think they're two sort of well-matched teams, I think. I don't think anybody... Probably England are always pretty strong. I don't think any team maybe is like 1 to 10 favourites, you know, to win the Six Nations, if you like, out of all the nations that compete in it. So as I said, I don't think anybody's, because anything can happen, you know, in the space of 3 months or whatever, or 2 months. A team can get, a star player can get injured. And I hope tomorrow, Sunday, we see a lot more running, a lot more handling.
What do you make of the game? Do you like watching the games at the moment?
I like rugby. I'm not a massive fan of rugby. I'll maybe watch a Heineken Cup game or something if it's on. I'm born and bred in Swansea, so I used to go and watch the Ospreys because they share the same stadium as the as Swansea City. They both use the Liberty Stadium. The Ospreys play on a Friday night, you know, wreck the pitch for the footballers then on a Saturday. But, no, as I said, you know, I'm looking forward to it. But in the last few, now, I don't know much about rugby. I played a little bit of it in school and everything else. And I follow it and I really enjoy it. I enjoy the competition. The boys are so fit now and competitive. They're all in great shape. They really, really work hard on their bodies and the weights in the gym. You can see how hard they hit. And they have to do them weights because the hits, you know, you've got to be not so much give them out, but you've got to be able to take them as well. And that's why they're doing probably 3 or 4 days a week in the gym, pumping the iron, getting themselves really strong, you know. But I've been a bit disappointed with some of the tactics because it seems to have like a territorial game, possession, like a territory. You know, ball up in the air, and then the opposition team are all putting a bit of pressure on the guy who's going to come in and catch. Hold on a minute, don't hit him in the air. You might get a free kick. You might get a fumble, and then we can capitalise on that. Next thing, somebody else gets the ball, and they kick it. The space in front of them, and they kick it, you know, because there's not 3 or 4 centres or people in line with the guy who's held the ball, and then they kick it again. So it almost becomes like that. It almost becomes watching the old Wimbledon team play football, back and forth, territory, right, 3 big centre forwards. Kenny Cunningham used to say, joking here, Kenny, when you get the ball, 2 touches, 1 at your feet, 2nd touch, bang, hit the front man. Don't play it in the midfield, skip the midfield, and then everybody just turns around, possession football. We get into the final third, Vinnie Jones, long throw into the opposition's box, just bullying teams. Rugby's like for running. I think sometimes you watch the wingers play, they touch the ball 3 times. You've got exceptionally gifted speed merchants, fast centres, ball players, wingers who are unbelievably quick. They touch the ball twice in 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you never get it. So I'd like to see a bit more, you know, running with sort of more running and passing and skill level. You know, rather than this kick in and all the time. And,
I agree. I think we all agree.
You know what I mean? It can just disappoint you a little bit, especially if there's space to run into. That's all I'm saying. And I don't perceive to know an awful lot about rugby, but I think most people sometimes when they watch it and they get the ball and it's gone there 3 times. Run, get tackled. You know, let's get the ruck, let's win it again, let's go up the field type of thing. But sometimes that can be a bit disappointing when you're watching rugby, especially when I'm sitting next to my dad, because he agrees with everything I say.
Well, and probably watched the great Welsh teams when he was young, playing a much better, nicer style of rugby. Adam Jones is one of the people who took something of an offence to the stuff that we were saying during the week. He seems like he says it pisses off. It was disrespectful that we were saying Wales were going to be annihilated.
It's not like Adam to say that. Adam Jones, I'm telling you now, he's one of the most softly spoken, humblest men you'd ever wish to meet in your life. He did his job, one of the best tight end prop in the world when he went with the British Lions under Warren Gatland. When Adam Jones played, the boys in the scrum knew he was reliable, he's strong. I've been in Adam's company a few times. His shoulders, he makes me look small at times. His shoulders, he's like a bull. So strong. So, you know, it must have got to him. The Irish boys must be delighted because obviously it's got to him. It's they hit the nerve anyway. But as I said, they must have done to get a reaction out of Adam because, as I said, he's generally quite placid, Adam Jones. You know, he's not one that... You look at the Martin Johnsons and these type of guys and the Scott Quinnells and the Keith Woods over the years, they'd be the ones, you know, these boys would be the ones that would be vociferous in the dressing room. Whereas Adam really, he'll just sit there and just, he does his work on the pitch, you know.
I would like a little bit more of the trash talk between countries and teams.
I know you would. I know what you like.
Is it not a bit of crack? That's what...
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it's crack, yeah. It all depends, you know. I would think that, you know, I've always said it whenever I send a tweet or something, and then all of a sudden I get a barrage of abuse. I don't know why I bother. You know, I don't know why I bother. Even if I fancy Ireland tomorrow, I'm still going to say fancy Wales tonight by 8 points. And the reaction I'll get is Twitter, isn't it?
Well, that's what keeps the world going. Are you keeping well, John?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, I'm just recovering from a knee replacement operation. So it's been a bit of a sore one. I'm just come off crutches, actually. And it's just going to be time. I'm only 4.5 weeks sort of post-op. So over the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks now, probably 8 weeks, they say that, you know, you can really get the bend and the extension. It's all these things. I'm still on tablets, you know, for the pain. But it's coming. It's coming. It's not the first op I've had, and I'm sure it won't be the last.
How was it?
Oh, it was horrific. Brutal. Not nice.
Right.
Anybody that's had a knee replacement, I'm sure there'd be listeners and watchers listening to this. The first 2 weeks, you know, it can take you to places that you never thought you'd go. The pain is just... And I've had 2 lung operations. I've had 2 back operations. I've had 2 brain operations. But this knee replacement, the op... The way they just smash your kneecap, shatter it, mend it, put a bit of cement on there, bring it all together. It's really not nice at all. And when you wake up, obviously in the operating theatre, them first 10 days are like nothing else. You know, and even the surgeon said to me, he said, John, he said, the tendons and the muscles in and around the knee in general. He said that makes it a really nasty operation. I know they're very popular, same as hip operations are, and hip replacements, sorry. But the knee replacement in general, you know, anybody tell you that it's not painful, or they didn't suffer any pain, you know, post-op after they'd had it done, I'm quite happy to call him a liar.
Wow, that sounds terrible, like, especially given...
Oh, it's awful. Right. Genuinely, it really is. When you wake up, even when you go into bed, you put a light blanket on you, still hurts your knee.
Wow.
It really is. It's really not nice at all. And as I said, I've been through quite a lot of trauma and operations, and split my head open. I had 2 brain operations when I had cancer 10 years ago. And then I had operations on my lungs to flush out some scar tissue that was sitting there. They opened my ribs, and I've got 2 big scars. I had 2 back operations, which saved my career, 2 big sort of big lines down my back. I've had a couple of knee operations. I failed 4 medicals in my football career because of knee operations. But this one, this knee replacement, I don't know if I'm a little bit older. I'm 45, and I was 25, 26 having them operations. I didn't feel them. I was a bit tougher maybe, but maybe I'm getting a bit softer as I'm getting older. But this one really hurt.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's turning the corner somewhat and that you're feeling a bit better from it, because...
Thank you.
You've definitely been through the wars. Will I ask you for a score prediction, or did you just tell us that you think Wales are going to win by 8, even if you think Ireland are going to win?
No, I think it'll be a really close game, and I think Ireland are always a good side. Ireland are always strong. They always make a game of it. They'll go till the 90th minute. They never give up. They've got some really talented players. They always produce talent. So... I'm going to go Wales close. I'm going to go Wales, I'll say 16-12, Wales. And it'll be a couple of kicks that'll decide it. I don't think either team, and the momentum they'll take from the win, you know, open up, you know, the Ireland win in Wales, what a victory that will be with the momentum and the, you know, the ascendancy then they'll take to the next games. So very close. I'm obviously going to go Wales. I'm a proud Welshman. I could never say Ireland, even if I thought it. But anyway, I'm going to go. I'm going to go Wales 16-12. I just hope it's a great game and there's not too much kicking.
John, you're officially off the ball's favourite Welshman. Thanks a million for joining us this Friday evening. Enjoy the weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's great, John. Cheers. Take care.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.